Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning. We thank our Shir sponsor, who does not want to be named, very, very much for her dedication and her and her family's dedication and commitment to these Divrei Torah and enhancing our Shmira Shabbos, hopefully appreciation for Shabbos and our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam through Shabbos. It should bring her and her family only besoros tovos, erichos yamim v'shanim, nachas mibanim, ameni shabbosos spent in good health with the Shechina in your home. Thank you so much to everyone who's choosing to join our Shabbos Kodesh class learning on this Yeshiva week, Erev Shabbos. So before we begin, I'm going to quote a number of vignettes, three vignettes from, short vignettes from the Sefer, which I know I quoted from a Wednesday night class as well, Rabbi David. I'm reading this biography of Rabbi David Feinstein, and it's just, I have no words. What a person can become, what a mortal can become through Avodas Hashem and Torah in this world is mind-blowing. It's really mind-blowing. So, I'm going to quote a number of vignettes related specifically to, is this what I want to start with? Yeah, Shabbos, okay? From David Feinstein Zatzal. So this is very interesting. Later in life, he developed a close connection with Rav Zalman Leib Teitelbaum of Satmar, which is interesting in and of itself. The Satmar Rebbe wanted very much to arrange to learn b'chavrusa with the Rosh Hashiva, and he suggested to Rav David Feinstein different time slots of when they could learn. Rav David could not find a time that was open. The Satmar Rebbe wants to learn with him, and he says, I'm sorry, I don't have any available time. But the Satmar Rebbe found most extraordinary and repeated to his own chassidim was Rabbi David Feinstein's reply when the Satmar Rebbe asked him, what about Thursday nights? Could we learn on Thursday nights? Rabbi David explained, no, he could not, because that was when he went shopping for Shabbos in order to help the Rabbitson. Page 61, why could he not learn on Thursday? Because that's when he went shopping for Shabbos. And between shopping for Shabbos and helping the Rabbitson, he could not learn, and he was not willing to give up that opportunity in order to learn with the Satmar Rebbe. Next vignette, also related to this idea of helping to shop for Shabbos. Wait, which page is it on? I just put in my stickies. Related to this idea as well of learning on helping, of us learning from him, and that he helped shop for Shabbos. When the Rosh Hashiva was already elderly, he was in the grocery doing the Thursday night shopping for the Rebbitzin. A shopper in the store saw Rabbi David Feinstein choosing cucumbers, picking out avocados, and selecting tomatoes for Shabbos. I'm quoting verbatim, page 131. A shopper in the store saw Rav David Feinstein choosing cucumbers, picking out avocados, and selecting tomatoes for Shabbos. And this shopper found the sight so astounding, he took out his cell phone and began to video Rav David Feinstein shopping. The video of Rav David Feinstein shopping Thursday night was passed around, spreading quickly through the from world. There were those who felt this was an embarrassment to the Rosh Hashiva and a change had to be made. Either he should allow a Talmud to go do the shopping for him, or then he would have a time for a chavrusa with the Satmar Rebbe, or he should have someone else join him on the excursions to guard his privacy. When Rabbi David heard about the suggestion and that the video was going around, he laughed. Farkert, just the opposite, he said. This video is a zchus for me, because now more people will know to help their wives prepare for Shabbos. And finally, one more vignette, and then we will get back into the Sefer. One more. Just going to my stickies. I repeated this on Wednesday night for a different purpose. Wednesday we were talking about food. Today we're talking about Shabbos. So for those who were not with us, one more vignette. Elliot and Debbie Kaplan lived in the same building as Rabbi David and the Rebbitzin, and the two couples were very close friends. The Kaplans would visit after each and every Shabbos meal. And Rabbi David, who did the shopping for Shabbos. So this idea of him shopping for Shabbos is reiterated repeatedly through the book. I'm quoting from three different excerpts. And Rabbi David, I mean, you're talking about the Posek Hadar, one of the Posek Hadar. I mean, it's unbelievable. He did the shopping for Shabbos, would try to make sure there was something special for dessert every week in honor of Shabbos. Elliot, an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker, saw it as a privilege to come set up the Rosh Hashiva's microphone for the Friday Chumashir, ensuring the audio was impeccable. The first time Elliot suggested this, the Rosh Hashiva quipped, "You want me in Hollywood?" Because the guy is an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker. But this became their custom. And every week, as the microphone was being affixed to the lapel of his jacket and shirt, Rabbi David would whisper to his friend, "Elliot, we have a really good cinnamon cake for tonight." Or, "The watermelon looks so delicious. We will enjoy tonight. L'kavod Shabbos." So this is from three different places in the Sefer. The Chazon Ish said that, famously said that learning stories of Gedolim is the biggest musr. So you see how important it was for one of the Gedolei Poskim, one of the Gedolei Hadar, to help for Shabbos, shop for Shabbos, and even at the expense of having a chavrusa with the Satmar Rebbe, he refused to give it up. And when the video went viral, he said, he laughed. He said, "I need someone to protect my dignity. Adarabah, for a carrot, it's a zchus for me because more people will learn to help their wives prepare for Shabbos." Okay, so that's introduction to today's shiur. If you don't have the book, I suggest you go get it. It's really mind-boggling. So let us, we are in the Sefer, Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, on page 60. I'm just going to recap where we were last time, not share the same insights, just so we are all on the same page, pun intended. But Pinchas is going through different elements of the Beis HaMikdash and the parallels in the Jewish home. Oh, the name of the book. The name of the book is Rabbi David Feinstein, The Life and Legacy of Rabbi David. The Life and Legacy of Rabbi David Feinstein. The author is Yisrael Besser. I really highly recommend it. I mean, I can't put it down. And I keep telling my family, I'm telling the whole family the whole day, I'm sharing the stories from the Sefer. It's unbelievable. Okay, so we're going through different elements of the Beis HaMikdash that have parallels in the Jewish home. So the Kohanim had Big Day Kohuna, we have Shabbos clothing. They had a menorah, we have Shabbos candles. They had the kiyar and the mikvah before the avoda, we have bathing in honor of Shabbos. We're up to a section called the table, the shochan. They had a golden shochan with the lechem upon him. We have a Shabbos table with lechem mishnah. Next week's parsha, Beshalach. Next week's parsha is Parsha's Beshalach, where the man falls for the first time and they get a double portion for Shabbos. Okay, this week's parsha is Bo. They leave Mitzrayim. Next week is Beshalach. They're going to be in the desert. Yadala Tesvav is Kriyas Yamsuf and Shiras Hayam. And Parak Tazayin is all about the man. And we learn more about Shabbos from the man than we learn about the man. And the source for having Seuda Shlishis, by the way, is the next week's parsha, Parshas Beshalach, Perek Tezayin, the source to Oraisa, for washing three times, just public service announcement. It's an important inyan, and especially in the winter, it's not the easiest avoda, but it is a next week's parsha to have three meals on Shabbos. Okay. They had a shulchan, we have a shulchan. In the Beis HaMikdash, the lechem upon him rested upon a golden shulchan. I'm just recapping two paragraphs so we know where we're up to. Similarly, we have the Shabbos table. Torah sources describe special specifications for the Shabbos table, how it should be positioned, where it should be located. This is because our Shabbos table resembles the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash. And what do we do while sitting around the Shabbos table? It's a universal Jewish custom to sing Zmiros. We spoke about Zmiros last time. If you remember, we quoted from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zohar Chora Levracha, Shabbos Companion Sefer. It's a universal Jewish custom to sing Zmiros. These are not just nice songs. The singing is a special form of Avodas Hashem, like the singing of the Leviim in the Beis HaMikdash. So I have to tell you, it's crazy when this happens to me, but we learn every other week. So we learned this 2 weeks ago, and we spoke about Zmiros at length because we quoted from Rabbi Dr. Twersky in the Shabbos Companion. That week's Mishpacha, which I don't even have time to read on Shabbos. I just glanced through it. I don't know if anybody saw it, but I couldn't believe it. It's 2 weeks ago Mishpacha. What am I reading that Shabbos? Did anyone else see it? Rabbi Daniel Glatstein had a two-page article on Inyanim and insights into Zmiros. So I thought, I can't believe this. We just learned about this. I just taught it. And here we go. Rabbi Gladstein is speaking about Zmiros. So let's learn a tremendous Talmud Chacham, brilliant mind, and Mechaber's farm. Magid Shir. So Rabbi Daniel Gladstein writes as follows. You know what it's called? More than music. No, literally, we learned this 2 weeks ago. And it was in that Shabbos Mishpacha. More than, and that's exactly where we're up to in the Sefer. We love when this happens. Hashem's saying, we're on the right track. We're doing the right thing. More than music, Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. Okay, so this was Mishpacha 18 Teves, January 11th. It's very essence. So there are four nekudos that Rabbi Gladstein teaches about Zmiros. One, it's very essence. Now remember, the last thing we read about Shimshon Pinchas about Shabbos Zmiros. So you know, every Shabbos table is different. But if your Shabbos table is one that does not have Zmiros, after the learning, it's something that we should really be focusing on and trying to incorporate into our Shabbos table because of Shimshon Pinchas tells us it's not just nice songs. It's a special form of Avodas Hashem. It's like the singing of the Leviim in the Beis HaMikdash. So Number one, 4 points from Rabbi Gladstein. Number one is it's called its very essence. Okay, Zmiros are not just a nice addition to the Shabbos meal. They go to the heart of what Shabbos is. So very similar to what Pinchas says, it's not just nice songs. Zmiros aren't just a nice addition to the Shabbos meal. They go to the heart of what Shabbos is. In his Sefer, Zichronos Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Mani writes, the word Shabbos, Shin Beis Tav, is an acronym for Shira Bo Tomar. Shin Beis Tav, Shira Bo Tomar. On this day you should say Shira. Upon it, song shall be said. The Chida cites Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says this concept is alluded to in the Chumash. Sorry. When the Torah describes the oncoming of the very first Shabbos, it says, Vayechulu Hashemayim V'ha'aretz. That's back in Sefer Bereishis, the beginning of Perek Beis. Vayir Vayhi Boker Yom Hashishi, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayechulu Hashemayim V'ha'aretz V'chotze V'am, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, by Maisa Bereishis. Okay? So when the very first Shabbos is written in the Torah, that's when God created the world. He created the world in 6 days. Vayom Hashvi Shavat Vayinafash. And on the seventh day, he ceased working and he rested. Kaviyachal. Vayechulu Hashemayim V'ha'aretz. And Hashem completed the heavens and the earth. So Rabbeinu Ephraim expounds upon the pasuk homiletically, explaining the heaven and earth are an allusion to the body. Shamayim v'aretz is an allusion to the body. Therefore, the pasuk continues, v'chol tzva'am and all its hosts. In line with this metaphor, Rabbeinu Ephraim says, this is a reference to the bones and sinews. So, v'yichu ha-shamayim v'ha'aretz, the body was finished. It's homiletic. This is obviously not the pshah, even though we can't even understand the pshah, because Maaseh Bereishis is the most esoteric part of Torah. Okay, v'yichu ha-shamayim v'ha'aretz, the heaven and the earth means the body. So the heaven and the earth was finished, the body. V'chol tzva'am and all of its hosts, Rabbeinu Ephraim says all the hosts referring to the bones and the sinews. So you have your body, then you have your bones and your sinews. And then the pasuk says, v'yichal Elokim v'yom hashvi'i. And God finished or completed on the seventh day. This, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, parallels the final touch of human life, the mouth. V'yichulu ha-shamayim v'aretz, God finished creating the body. The chalts of Am and all its hosts, the bones of the sinew, so now the human body is structure. This alludes, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, to the final touch of human life, which is the mouth. The body of a fetus can be complete while in utero, but it cannot speak. Okay, and we have amazing technology today where the fetus can be seen in utero, and it's something that probably my grandmothers could never have even imagined, that you could have such a look into the womb. And you see, really, especially in the later trimesters, final trimester, you see a human being. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's part of nature, but what a miracle, what a nace. A person's carrying a person, but it's fascinating. The fingers move. So very often you can see the baby sucking its stem, hiccuping, turning over, opening and closing its mouth, wiggling its toes, kicking the mother. But what can it do? What can it do? It can't speak. This is a koach unique to a created, born, fully fashioned, living, breathing human being. The body of a fetus can be completed while in utero, but it cannot speak. I'm still quoting from Rabbi Gottstein. The power of the mouth begins when the rest of the work is complete. Vayechulu, when everything is finished, that's when the power of speech is granted to a person. Similarly, the Sefer Yetzirah, so in other words, the creation of Shabbos is a parallel for the creation of the human being. When the Pesukim say, Vayechulu Hashemayim V'aretz V'chol Tzva'am, Vayechulu Hashemayim V'aretz, we're talking about Shabbos, but what we're talking about is a human being. So what was finished? Shamayim V'aretz, the body. V'chol Tzva'am, the host, the bones and the sinews. Vayechalokim B'yam HaShvi, God finished on the seventh day, refers to the fact that a human being was granted the power of speech. How apropos that the power of speech was granted from the words, Vayechalokim B'yam HaShvi'i, we should use the power of speech on the seventh day to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Use your mouth to sing songs. And both Rav Shimshon Pinchas, and last time, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, and here Rabbi Daniel Gladstein says, Zmiros are not just nice songs. It's not like, you know, putting on your playlist on Spotify. Close your playlist. Jewish artists. That's not what this is. We're talking about Shabbos songs. Shabbos Zmiros are a form of avoda, like they had avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayechulu Shemayim V'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. Vayechalu Kim B'yam HaShvi. We're granted the power of speech in order to praise God on the seventh day with songs of Shabbos. Similarly, the Sefer Yetzirah says there are seven gateways to the body. Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and finally the mouth is the seventh gateway. Vayivarech Elokim es yam hashvi, Hashem blessed the seventh day, and this is called the mouth. So this is obviously very Kabbalistic, but the allusion to the seventh day being blessed refers to the koach ha-dibur, and in this case, koach ha-shira, of being blessed. What do we call zmir? It's the song, zemer. It's singing songs of Kosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is the day, therefore, when your mouth is blessed. Kabbalistically, Vayivarech Elokim es yam hashvi means Hashem blessed the mouth. If there are seven gateways to the body, two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth, the mouth is seen as the seventh one, and that is blessed on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day when your mouth is blessed. Thus, using your mouth to raise your voice in song, praising Hashem for His creations, is, quote, the very essence of what Shabbos is. That's what it says here. I'm not. Page 44 of Knis Mishpacha. 18 Tavis 5783. Shabbos is the day when your mouth is blessed. Using your mouth to raise your voice in song, praising Hashem for His beautiful creation, is the very essence of what Shabbos is. In fact, is the Chida, the word Hashvi'i, remember, Vayivarech Elokim es yam Hashvi'i, God bless the seventh day. Kabbalistically, that means God bless the mouth and the power of Shira on Shabbos. Hashvi'i shares the same gematria, ready, as Shevach Bapeh. Shavach Bapeh, praises in the mouth. Gematria 397 is the same gematria as Hashvi, the seventh day, because on what day should we be using our mouths to praise Hashem with Shavach Bapeh? Yom Hashvi'i. So Shabbos stands for Shira Bo Tomar. It's an acronym, Roshei Tevos, Shin Beis Tav, Shira Bo Tomar. We went through the first psalm of Perek Beis in Maisa Bereishis. Vayichul HaShemayim Va'aretz, the body was finished. The chutz of Am, the bones and the sinews were finished. Vayechalokim bayom hashvi'i, the mouth was granted to the human being, specifically for singing Shira on Shabbos. This is the very essence of Shabbos. And says the Chida, hashvi'i shares the same gematria as Shavach Bapeh, 397. So further reinforcement and understanding of how important Zmiros are on Shabbos. That's his point number one out of four. Number two. The definition of blessing. The Sefer Chassidim says that singing Zmiros on Shabbos, listen to this, is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Sefer Chassidim says that singing Zmiros on Shabbos is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa. He explains that Hashem instilled bracha into the world on Shabbos, as the pasuk says, Vayivarech Elokim es yam hashvi'i, and Hashem blessed the seventh day. But how do we define bracha? Says the Sefer Chassidim, we can understand what bracha means by examining the converse of bracha. What's the opposite of bracha? Excuse me, klala, curse. So if you want to understand what bracha is, you have to understand what klala is. Because Vayivarech Elokim es yam hashvi'i, God bless the seventh day. I'll tell you something that I saw brought down, taking a break from Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. What is the essence of bracha? This is brought down in the Sefer Short and Sweet on the Parsha Feldheim distribution by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman. So he points out such an interesting insight. I don't remember his sources, but that's where I read it. Okay, it's not his own insight. I forget who he quotes. That Beirach, it's amazing. Vayivarech Elokim, and through Kiddush, Baruch Atah Hashem, we are Mekadesh with the Bracha. So God bless the seventh day, and we bless Hashem for creating the Shabbos. Beirach is a fascinating word that tells you what the essence of Bracha is. And Sefer Shor and Sui in the Parsha, this is brought down by Birkas Kohanim in Parshas Naso, because the Kohanim, Yivarechacha, they give the Birkas Kohanim. So if you look at the word Beirach, it's fascinating. Each letter is double of what the letter that came before. Beis, which is two, is double what came before. What comes before Aleph? Aleph is one and Beis is two. Reish is 200. What comes before Kuf, which is 100. Reish is double of what came before. And finally, Chaf is 20. What's the letter that comes before? Yud. Chaf is double of Yud. It's amazing. Lashon HaKodesh is mind-blowing, astonishing. It could only be divine in nature. Who could think of such a thing? If you look at the shorish of the word Beirach itself, you will see that the essence of blessing is contained in the word. Everything should be doubled. When we give someone a bracha, we're saying whatever brachas you have now should be doubled. Kaful mikupelas. Not like the choshech, which was kaful mikupelas. The bracha should be kaful mikupelas. How do we know that? Because everything is doubled. Beis is double. Aleph, two is double one. Resh is double kuf, 200 is double of 100. And finally, chof is double of yud, 20 is double 10. That's what the essence of blessing is. We ask Hashem to double. No wonder we have lachem mishnah on Shabbos. We have double loaves because we're asking Hashem not to give us a single portion of blessing, but to give us a double portion of blessing. Going back to Rabbi Daniel Glatstein, amazing. The Sefer Hasidim says, singing smiros on Shabbos is actually a mitzvah do raisa. It's unbelievable. He explains that Hashem instilled bracha into the world on Shabbos. I'm just explaining what the essence of Beirach is. And the pasuk says, Vayivarech Elokim es Yamashvi. You say this in Kiddush. Vayivarech Elokim es Yamashvi. Hashem blessed Beirach the seventh day. But how do we define bracha? Says the Sefer Hasidim, we can understand what bracha means by examining the converse of bracha, which is klala. No one person endured as much curse in life as Eov. In Sefer Eov, which I did not learn through, so I'm only quoting from here, so please don't ask me questions beyond what I'm quoting. In Sefer Eov, Eov says, in Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, Al Tavo Renana Bo. Eov has reached the point where song could not even enter him. Al Tavo Renana Bo, such a place of despair that song cannot enter. So says the Sefer Hasidim, if curse is defined as something bereft of song, Al Tavo Renana Bo, curse means that song can enter. Sefer Hasidim says, a blessing must mean something filled with song. We'll prove from Eov that curse is bereft of song, teaches us that blessing is something full of song. Therefore, Vayivarech Elokim Es Yom HaShvi, Hashem filled the seventh day with blessing. We conclude from here, it means song. And according to Sefer Hasidim, that's the source for Zmiros being Doraisa. Vayivarech Elokim Es Yom HaShvi, Vayivarech means song. Hashvi'i is Shabbos day, therefore De'oraisa says Sefer Chassidim. Now, I don't know how we paskin, but it's a very powerful statement to say that Zmiros on Shabbos, not just Naisang. So from all the sources we're learning, Zmiros must be an integral part of our Shabbos Su'udos, resembling the Shira of the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's go on. So Nekuda number one was Shira Tomar Bo. Peh equals Shadach, but Peh equals Hashvi. It was based on the Chida. The second Nakuda is according to the Sefer Hasidim. Smiras on Shabbos is actually Deoraisha. Point number three from Rabbi Gladstein. Number three, on angels' wings. The Tosvos, from Maseches Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin Beis, Tosvos quotes a Medrash that the angels have six wings. These wings have the capacity to sing Shira song, and the malachim use them over the course of the week. Six wings, 6 days of the week. The wings represent the malachim singing shira. The malachim use them over the course of the week, offering one shira per day, sung by one wing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, it's difficult for us to understand exactly what that means, but we know malachim sing shira to Hashem, because when Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Sar Shal Esav on the river Yabok, Paraklamet Beis, and the Paraklamet Beis in Bereishis, what happens? All of a sudden, they're fighting the whole night, so the Malach doesn't want to give up. But all of a sudden, the Malach says, oh no, Shachini ki ala shachar. Wait a minute, I have to leave. The morning sun has dawned. Who cares? Why do you have to leave? You're fighting. Don't you want to take Yaakov down? He's your archenemy. No. But Rashi, Zuk, Rashi, what does Rashi say? Today's my day to sing Shira. I have to go because I'm singing Shira to Hashem. So we see that the Malachim sing Shira to Hashem. Another proof. Oh, also next week's Parsha. Parsha's B'shalach. As Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, only Moshe and b'nei Yisrael allowed to sing Shira. What did the Malachim do? B'kesh Malach HaYisharis, l'omar Shira l'fanav. The Malachim also wanted to sing Shira before Hashem, which means they're ragdil for singing Shira. Hashem had to make an exception. This time you don't sing, but if this time you don't sing, that means every other time you do sing. So we see that song is an integral part. Can Malachim sing Shira to Hashem? The Levim sang Shira to Hashem. We too must sing Shira to Hashem. What is the day we sing Shira to Hashem? Shabbos. Shira Tomar Bo, Shin Beis Tav. This is the day when Hashem understands that during the week, you're out in the fields, you're picking your crops, you're planting your seeds. Hashem understands. But Shabbos comes, the Shechina comes to your home, you use the Koach of Peh, Vayichalukim Bayom HaShvi'i, the Koach of Peh is to sing Zmiros to Shabbos. So we sing Zmiros to Hashem on Shabbos. So we see the Malachim also sing Shira to the Ribbono Sha'olam. Oh, I was saying that another proof is from Parshas B'Shalach. One is from the angel, the Sar Shel Esav, had to leave Yaakov, even though he only injured him in the Gita Nesha. He didn't kill him, he didn't totally overcome him, but he had to go because Shira is such an integral part of Avodas Hashem. It shows you have to stop what you're doing and go sing to Hashem. Next week's Parshas B'Shalach, when the Mitzrim were drowning in the sea. Malachim wanted to sing Shirat Hashem. Because why? We always sing Shirat Hashem. So Kosh Baruch Hu said, Masa Yadei Tovim Bayam Va'atam Tovim Omrim Shir Lefanei. Hashem said, I know you usually sing Shir, but today you're not allowed to sing Shir. But work on my hand is drowning in the sea, and you're singing Shir before me. So you see that the Bnei Yisrael, the song of the people, the song of Jews, is on a higher level than the song of Malachim. The Malachim were not allowed to sing. They were shut down. Today we don't have the concert in Shemayim because my creations are drowning in the sea. But the Bnei Yisrael want to sing to me? The Bnei Yisrael want to give Shira, as Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, so Shira Hazos. So going back to Rabbi Daniel Glatzin, coined the Tosfos, that there's a Medrash that says the angels have six wings. Each wing is used for one day of the week, over the course of the week, offering one Shira per day, sung by one wing of each angel to Hashem. But says the Tosfos, there are 7 days in the week, and there's only one, six wings. How do the Malachim sing on Shabbos? Related to what I just said, that you learn from Yamsuf that the Shira of the Bnei Yisrael is greater than the Shira of the Malachim. Ah, says Tosfos, they don't. How do the Malachim sing on Shabbos? That's what Tosfos Kasha is, if they have six wings, one for each day of the week. That's Yom Rishon through Yom Shishi. What about Yom Hashvi? How do they sing? Says Tosfos, on Shabbos the angels don't sing. We do. On Shabbos, the Zmiros around the Shabbos table supplant the song of the Malachim. Another proof of that is from Oz Yashir. The Malachim were not allowed to sing, but the Bnei Yisrael were allowed to sing. You see the same idea, that on Shabbos the Malachim don't sing, and you could even see it in Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem, you know, Shalom Aleichem, welcome to our home. Ba'acham, come in. Baruchuni, give us a bracha. And finally, Tzeischem, you Malachim leave. Who's left at the table if the Malachim leave? Obviously the Shechina. Who's left at the table? Basar Vadam. So you see that the Shira, three sources. The Shira of Yidden is greater than the Shira even of the Malachi Sharis. We see that angels sing, the fight of Yaakov on the river Babok, Shacheni ki Allah HaShachar. As she says, from the day I was created, my turn to sing Shira never came till now, I have to go. But we see that the Shira of the Bnei Yisrael is even greater than the Shira of the Malachim. That's how precious Miros, Shabbos are. One, because by Yom Suf, next week's Sedra, the Malachim were not allowed to sing to The Malachim were not allowed to sing Shira, but the Bnei Yisrael were allowed to sing Shira. Two, Tosfos says that on Shabbos, the Malachim don't have a seventh wing, because six wings are for 6 days of the week. The seventh day is the time for the Bnei Yisrael to sing Shira to Hashem. And three, related to two, the third Nakuda of this, related to the second Nakuda of this, as you see it in Shalom Aleichem, we welcome the Malachi Sharis. We say, Bo'achem, please come in. We ask them to give us a bracha, and then we say, leave. And when they leave, who's left at the Shabbos table? Yidden, who pick up a birka and a bencher and sing Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Finally, the fourth Nakuda of Rabbi Glatzin, so beautiful. So Friday's getting a little bit longer. We have some more time to prepare for Shabbos. So when you sit down to your Shabbos Sutta tonight, keep this in mind. It's very powerful. Four, enduring melody. My grandfather, Rabbi Glatzin is writing, my grandfather, Reb Shimon Hirschfeng, grew up in the Bronx during the Great Depression. The assimilation rate in the Bronx during that time period was overwhelming. Oh, wait a minute. Someone said last time she direct messaged me. It was actually the hostess and sponsor who I have a couple of shirma, they don't want to be named. But I remember you messaged me last time. It was direct message on the Zoom. And you said that there are stories that people after the Holocaust remain from, yes, that's the decline you remember, because I repeated the comment out loud, that people in the Holocaust who they survived and they remain from because of the songs and the Zmiros of home. So not only did we say that 2 weeks ago, and not only did we speak about Zmiros 2 weeks ago from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, and not only was this in Mishpacha right after our learning, but listen to the fourth Nakuda. My grandfather, I was so excited when I read it, my grandfather, Reb Shimon Hirschfeng, grew up in the Bronx during the Great Depression. The assimilation rate in the Bronx during that time period was overwhelming. And yet my grandfather remained strong. He told me it was because he used to spend Shabbos together with his grandfather, Reb Meshulam Feish, a very spirited Yid. And his grandfather sang Kari Bon, Friday Night Zemmer, with such fervor, the ceiling would shake. The image of his grandfather singing Zmiros was seared into his soul, neshama, and inspired him to remain loyal to Yiddishkeit and the ways of his ancestors. Rabbi Daniel Gottstein concludes, he says, I am here today through the power of Korriban. So I remember the person who said it last time, and I repeated the comment that there were those who remained faithful after Churban Europa because of the Zmiros of their homes. So I couldn't believe when I read this. And we can't fathom the Nisari. And I always say, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, they lost their jobs every week. The people were starving. There was no food. It's not like today. You know, when we say today there's no food in the house, it doesn't really mean there's no food in the house. It's an expression. It means I need to go to the grocery and restock. There's food in the house. They managed to have what to eat. People lost everything. There was nothing to eat. So it's not a judgment. It's a statement. Many had to leave. I can't say anything because I don't know what I would have done. I don't know, you know, Hashem should give me the koach. It's, you don't know, you should never be chas sham in such a matzav. But Gladstein writes that his grandfather grew up during such a time. When Alta Dines Chaver Chachat Gil Mekoma, during the Great Depression, people took their lives. People lost everything. They had nothing. And people left Yehadus. And a lot of leaving Yehadus just during the times, especially the turn of the last century as well, through those years, the 10s, the 20s, the Great Depression, was because they ended up working on Shabbos. And when a person leaves Shabbos, ultimately they leave Yerushkai Rechman Alatzlan. What kept his own grandfather connected to Yiddishkeit? His grandfather's Korriban that was sung with such fervor that the ceiling would literally shake. That's what it says here. The ceiling would literally shake. That's what it says. The image of his grandfather reminds me of Yosef HaTzadik. How did Yosef withstand the tuma of Ishas Potiphar? How did he not? She said to him every day, Shechvayimi. How did he not sin? He saw the image. He didn't start thinking of a whole Dvar Torah and Lo Tinaf. What am I going to be chayav? Can I sleep with her? Can I sleep with her? I want to sleep with her. He saw one thing, the image of his grandfather. If you remember, Rabbi Dr. Tversky said last time, they say diamonds are forever, but diamonds are not forever, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky. What's forever is memories. And he said, if you remember, it was the Shabbos companion. He said, if you want to give your children enduring legacy of Shabbos, give them the memories of seeing Zmiros around the Shabbos table. The image of his grandfather was seared on his soul and inspired him to remain loyal to the Yiddishkeit and the ways of his ancestors. I am here today through the power of that Korriban. So four beautiful, beautiful insights from Rabbi Daniel Gottstein into the power of Zmiros and Shabbos. Obviously, I thank Hashem for putting this in Mishpacha, exactly where we're up to, this Inyan in our Sefer. I don't know. You know that I find the Siyata Deshmaya and the unbelievable in preparing Shirim that, I mean, we've had this before in this class. We're up to Teshuvah, exactly, by their source made Teshuvah in the Sefer. So let's go on, okay? So now when you sing your Zmiros, it should have a lot more insight. Shabbos, Shira, Tomar, Bo. Make sure to at least include one Zemer. One Zemer, if, you know, maybe different families have different customs. Maybe families schmooze more. Maybe families say they don't have good voices. Maybe families can't be bothered. It's obviously very important. According to one source, at least in the Sefer Chassidim, Zmiros is actually a Deoraisa that parallels the Shir of the Levium. On Shabbos, the angels don't have wings. We take the place of their Shir on Shabbos. Unbelievably beautiful. Going back to Rav Shimshon Pinchas, okay? And what do we do while sitting around the Shabbos table? I'm on page 60, just recapping and going on. It's a universal Jewish custom to sing Zmiros. These are not just nice songs. These are special forms of Avodas Hashem, like the singing of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. Then, it is customary to place roses. This is so cute. Three different people, after last time's class, remember we learned Menjashir Shir Maba? Three different people reached out to me. iMessage, WhatsApp, and email. Three different people reached out to me to show them me their Shabbos flower bouquet of that Shabbos. It is customary to place roses, shoshanim, on the Shabbos table. Oh, and one of the women who reached out to me, her name is Shoshana, and she sent me her picture of her bouquet, and she said the shir was especially meaningful to me. If you remember, we learned after the Zmiros, we spoke about Medjush Shir Shir Rabba and the koach of shoshanim. Hashem found one rose amongst the thorn. He said, for that Shoshana, everything will be saved. So her name is Shoshana, and she sent me a picture of her Shoshanim on her table for Shabbos. It's customary to place roses, Shoshanim, on the Shabbos table, perhaps for their pleasant fragrance. But the Medrash Shir Shir Rabba says, just as the rose is prepared for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so is Yisrael. Sometimes, says Rav Pinchas, I buy a few roses for Shabbos. Once I went to the store, I saw some beautiful roses. When I asked the storekeeper to wrap them up, he said to me, he said to me, quote, he asked me a very difficult question. What's the very difficult question? How many roses do you want to buy? Says Rav Pinchas, I was stumped. I know a bridegroom buys 12 roses for the bride, but how many roses does one buy in honor of Shabbos? Day of Hashem, should I buy one? Should I buy 24? Perhaps I should buy the entire store, says Rav Pinchas. And then I took 3 roses, top of page 61, because it's impossible to buy enough. No matter how many you buy, it will never fully honor Hashem or his Shechina. Because remember, Shabbos, Hashem is the guest on Shabbos. The Shechina is the guest on Shabbos. So even if you don't have Orchim, for whatever reason that week, you can't have Orchim, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to your house. So you need some kind of practical framework within which to work. And so Kosh Baruch Hu is infinite. He's the Ein Sof. You can't buy Ein Sof of flowers. What should you do? You need some kind of practical framework within which to work. I chose the number 3, which corresponds to the other, says Rav Pinchas. But the main thing is you should know for who you are buying, capital W, for whom you are buying the roses. We have to remember, our table is Hashem's Su'uda. Our home is Hashem's home. Our Su'uda and table is Hashem's Shabbos table. That's what concludes the section of table. We have to remember, this is Hashem's Su'uda, Hashem's house, and Hashem's table. Don't laugh at me, please. But I'm also quoting from Mishpacha again. But this is from, I saved it. Ready? This has been in my Shabbos Kodesh Sefer. Sometimes I find the source, I don't know exactly when I'm going to teach it, but I know it's relevant for a certain shir. Okay, so this isn't like, oh, I read exactly when we're up to it. The next paper that I'm quoting is from one Cheshvan. So Cheshvan Kislev Tevis, 3 months ago. It's been in my Sefer for 3 months. I didn't know when I was going to quote it, but it's totally apropos now. The last thing we read on the section of table is we have to remember this is Hashem Su'uda, Hashem's house, and Hashem Shabbos table. Or Pinchas, page 61. Okay, this is from Mishpacha back 3 months ago. Got you covered, a shul with a view, the great Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman. I stared at the text message. It was from Yonah Shane, owner of the linen shop. A local store in Passaic, I don't know if anyone here lives in Passaic listening to the Shia online, was from Yonah Shane, owner of the linen shop, a local store in Passaic that supplies the neighborhood with much more than linen. One can also find beautiful gifts for Shabbos in this store and Jewish-themed necessities in the linen shop. Yonah and his wife are always there with a smile to help choose the perfect gift. So Yonah texted me. He asked if the shul would like new tablecloths for Shabbos. An anonymous donor was interested in donating beautiful white tablecloths for the over 40 tables in our shul. I stared at the text message. For years, says Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman, I had yearned for white tablecloths to bedeck the shul, to elevate the ambience and decor of our mikdash ma'at. However, as with many dreams, practical considerations, mainly financial in this case, played their part in placing the idea on the back burner. So he says, for years I dreamed of this, but I didn't have the money for it, the shul didn't have the budget. It went to the back burner. And yet I stared at the text. I felt a renewal of hope. Could it be my dream was coming true? We would have white tablecloths for the 40 shul tables in Shabbos? Often I'm a dreamer. I am the romanticist of my shul. The lay leadership generally supports my plans, but sometimes they bring me back down to earth by gently suggesting I am bordering on delusional. This time as well, there were skeptics, and they gave good reasons. Who will volunteer to put out the tablecloths every Friday? Who will guarantee they're properly stored and neatly put away after Shabbos for the next Shabbos? Who will take care of having them laundered when necessary? I was beginning to concede that this was one time it was proper to look a gift horse in the mouth. One of my Melech Shetichah's favorite expressions is don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I was beginning to concede it was proper to look a gift horse in the mouth and admit the tablecloth plan needed to be shelved. Yet my heart pined for the sumptuous Shabbos linens. And I wasn't quite ready to wave the white flag and admit defeat. Hashem has his ways of transmitting his messages, and we must keep our eyes open. On Friday of Tu B'Av, I visited my daughter in the hospital near Lakewood, Monmouth Hospital near Lakewood, because she gave birth to a baby boy. Because of COVID restrictions, only one visitor was allowed at a time. My wife and I took turns. And there I was visiting my daughter, holding my new grandson. One of the hospital aides arrived to knee in the room and empty the trash bins. Margaret was her name, a non-Jewish aide. She began to walk around the room, carefully removing all the items from the bedside tables. So you know the little tables they put at the side of your bed? usually has your water. Today you have your cell phone, not in my days. My babies are not babies. But your food that you just ate, well wishers, whatever they send you. So she walks around the room and she removes all the items from the bedside table. And she covers the tabletops with white hospital towels or pillowcases. I was mesmerized by Margaret's actions. But before I could say a word, she saw my face. And on her own, she explained, "I recall when I first found out about Shabbos. Since then, I've taken it upon myself," and this is a Lakewood hospital, so this wasn't like she's going into two rooms, right in the middle of Alabama. "I recall when I first found out about Shabbos," says this Margaret, "since then, I've taken it upon myself to ensure every Jewish room is properly enhanced for Shabbos. I know I must cover all the tables before the sun sets." Remember, we're the section of the book called The Table. "Margaret," I said, I was stunned. "You do this every Friday?" "What do you mean, do I do it every Friday?" said Margaret, with the sincerity of a faithful servant of Hashem. I'm quoting. "The women here have taught me about the holiness of Shabbos, and part of it is, where am I up to, making sure we have white covers on all the tabletops. That's my personal mitzvah," says Margaret. "I go around to all the Jewish rooms and ensure they are all, how do you say it, Shabbosdik. That's my special way of serving God." I looked at this woman whose job description contained absolutely zero clauses about covering tables for Shabbos. I stared in amazement at the special human being who sensed the holiness of Shabbos. As I watched Margaret cover one more tabletop, it became clear to me what Hashem was telling me. I accepted delivery of the tablecloths the very next Shabbos from the linen shop. Shabbos never looked so elegant and divine as it now does in our shul. The pristine white tablecloths beautify and sanctify the entire base Knesset. And to think what would have been had Hashem not sent Margaret to me. So if Shimshon Pinchas says that what we have to remember is when we have the Zmiros at the Shabbos table, when we have the roses at the Shabbos table, when we have the Lechem Aponim at the Shabbos table, we have to remember this is Hashem's Seuda, Hashem's house, it is Hashem's Shabbos table, and we have to make sure from the tablecloth to the Zmiros, to the flowers, to the challah, it is bedecked of a king. I remember when we were talking about being in the hospital and white tablecloths, when we were quite a number of years ago, probably 6 years ago now, when one of my children had an emergency, Friday, it was in the summer, child came home from sleepaway camp, we went to the doctor said go straight to the ER, we went to the hospital, Friday morning, and they admitted us right then and there. So we had a very beautiful and uplifting Shabbos, and it came to be that the daughter-in-law of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, someone just sent me a video of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe going around to a hospital in Israel, giving brachos to the nurse, this Vizhnitzer Rebbe. Okay, Rav Hager Shlita from Bnei Brak, the Vizhnitzer Rebbe. So his daughter-in-law was also in the hospital with us, with a child of hers. She told me her name and her last name was Hager, and I didn't think anything, only like towards the end of Shabbos. We spent the whole Shabbos together. It was very, very interesting. She grew up Satmar, she married Vizhnitz. She was telling me about her life, what she does. I told her about my life, what I do. She was astonished. She said, so many women want to know what's going on every week in the parasha. She couldn't she wasn't being demeaning, she was being serious. She said that Satmar, the girls don't even get a chumash. They tell them stories from chumash, but they don't even have a chumash. It was really, really, really interesting. After that, for a number of years, we kept up a connection. She was an amazing, very strong, amazing person. Why am I telling you this? Because Shabbos morning, so she had her, raglach and pastries, and I don't remember where we got food. I think we went to the Bikur Cholim, or maybe a family member came to drop off food. I don't know. So who had the Shabbos Suda together? True story. In the, family room on the floor, there's a patient area where you could sit with the family. So it was her, the daughter-in-law of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe. It was me and my husband and our child. And a Jewish woman, and I believe her son, who was married to a non-Jew. Jewish woman married to a non-Jew. Where else but in the hospital would you find these two kinds of Yidden sitting together? Us, the daughter-in-law of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, and this Jewish woman who was unfortunately married to a non-Jew. But what's the point? We said we'll put out all the food wherever we have. We'll make a Shabbos Suda. My husband made Kiddush. In fact, she said it's the first time in her life she ever had a Suda with a male, a man, not in her immediate family. As soon as the children got married, the men and the women sit in separate rooms. So this was the first time in my life having a Suda. But why? What's my point? She wanted to take a blanket or a sheet from the room to cover the table in the family room. We shouldn't just put, true story, we shouldn't just put the ragolech or whatever it is that we were eating, that part I don't remember, on the table. It had to be covered first with a cloth or a white cloth or, they have got blankets or a sheet from the room, and then we could put out our food, the covered Shabbos Kodesh. So we had many insights today into the table of Hashem. Next time, Bezer Hashem, unless something is a mishpacha this week that I don't know about related to Zmiros or Chalar or Shoshanim or tablecloths, next time we will begin Bli Neder with the next session, which is eating from the Korbanos. Many insights into enhancing the beauty and Kedusha of Shabbos through the elements of the Shabbos table, the Zmiros, the roses, the tablecloths, Lachem Apanim, Lachem Mishnah, next week B'Shalach. I wish everybody gevaldik and uplifting Shabbos. Thank you for joining me. It's amazing. Thank you to our sponsor. Thank you, Hashem, for Shabbos. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Kol Tov, and thank you so much. All the best. Thank you. Kol Tov. Good Shabbos.